This morning's scripture passage comes from John 21, 9 through 19. John 21, 9 through 19. It's a continuation of what we read last week when the disciples were out in the Sea of Galilee. And they had come back in, they had eaten with Jesus, and now Jesus is going to have a come to Jesus moment with Peter. Sometimes we all go through come to Jesus moments, right? Well, here's the one with an actual come to Jesus moment. When they had gone ashore, they saw a charcoal fire there with fish on it and bread. Jesus said to them, "Bring some of the fish that you have just caught." So Simon Peter went aboard and hauled the net ashore, full of large fish, 153 of them. And though there were so many, the net was not torn. Jesus said to them, "Come and have breakfast." Now none of the disciples dared to ask him, "Who are you?" because they knew it was the Lord. Jesus came and took the bread and gave it to them, and did the same with the fish. This was now the third time that Jesus had appeared to the disciples after he was raised from the dead. When they had finished breakfast, Jesus said to Simon Peter, "Simon, son of John, do you love me more than these?" He said to them, "Yes, Lord, you know that I love you." He said to him, "Feed my lambs." A second time he said to him, "Simon, son of John, do you love me?" He said to him, "Yes, Lord, you know that I love you." He said to him, "Tend my sheep." He said to him in the third time, "Simon, son of John, do you love me?" Peter was grieved because he had said to him the third time, "Do you love me?" And he said to him, "Lord, you know everything. You know that I love you." Jesus said to him, "Feed my sheep. Truly, truly, I say to you, when you were young, you girded yourself and walked where you would. But when you are old, you will stretch out your hands, and another will gird you and carry you where you do not wish to go." This he said to show by what death he was to glorify God. And after this, he said to him, "Follow me." This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Let us pray. Lord God, today, in this very place, we have heard some words that started with joy and ended with reckoning. But because of the reckoning that you have given, Lord, you have brought us into your fold. Open our hearts and our minds so that we may hear you, so that we may be transformed even more into your image. Speak through me and in spite of me today. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. There was a man, and when you stop and you think about it, there are so many of us here because somebody had to escape something for some reason. I know that some of my ancestors, they came when it was before even the Revolutionary War. They were good English people, and they got to work for the king here in the Americas. And then the Revolutionary War happened, but that didn't stop things happening in the rest of the world, like famines or strife. And so I know that even more of my family came over from Ireland and from Scotland, looking for a better life in what America became thought of as the Promised Land, right? And we know that the Promised Land was actually Israel. And when God had brought the Israelites out of Egypt, but they had some issues that they had to work through, so they wandered through the desert for 40 years until they all came to understand that they really needed to rely on God and to be obedient to God. Well, a lot of people, when they first get here to the United States, a lot of them can't even speak a word of English. My step-grandfather's family was just like that. In fact, both his father came over first, and he had a note pinned on him where he was supposed to go and what his name was. And off to Wisconsin he went, where a bunch of other Norwegian people lived. A year later, when there was enough money raised, then my step-grandfather's mother was sent to the United States with a note pinned to her as well, so that she could come and be part of this new promised land. When Hank started in school, there was no kindergarten back then, but he started school and couldn't speak a word of English because all his parents knew and all the community that he was part of knew was Norwegian. And so until he could speak English, he was kept in a room with some others. And I remember him telling me that he didn't feel that that was a very good thing, because he couldn't be with all the other children. He couldn't be with his class. So he learned quickly, and eventually he got to be part of his class. And from there, Hank went on to serve in the Army Air Corps, which later became the Air Force. And he was a career serviceman, and then after he retired in Carlisle, he was able to pick up a couple other jobs. He actually worked at Hershey Chocolate Factory there for a little while, and all those wonderful things. But he was able to pass on to me and my other cousins some wonderful things: honor, what it meant to serve, and what it meant to be an outsider and becoming part of the inside. Well, there's a man called Zalmi Niazi, or Z for short, and he's an Afghan man who served as a military translator for the United States in the 2010s. Sounds kind of funny calling it the 2010s, doesn't it? But here we are. You can imagine how dangerous his job would be as a translator for our troops, for himself and for his family. In 2014, he was flown to Washington, D.C. for business by the U.S. military, and once he arrived, his parents had a warning nailed to their door that said if he returned, he would be killed. And so would his entire family. So Z filed for political asylum and moved to a town near Iowa Falls in the state of Iowa, and went to wait out for a court date, and finally came around in 2021. But when Z went to court, the United States threatened to decline granting him asylum based on some kind of a technicality. Well, the people of Iowa Falls had come to love him and to trust him, and so they sprang into action. And almost immediately, members of the town raised more than $40,000 to hire the best immigration attorney that they could. And now he is a United States citizen. What does it mean for us, though, to be liberated? And there's different ways for us to be liberated. And the first thing that came to me when I was thinking of this is, well, we have the words life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. But when that's not exactly liberated. When I was writing the sermon, I started to think, well, the people who in our history of the United States that were liberated were those who were African Americans. And in fact, in June, there's even Juneteenth, the day that we remember when the Emancipation Proclamation came. And even still, I had to think about this a little bit more. Are we all liberated? Sometimes we do things that put our own selves in chains and in bondage. I mean, sometimes, if you think about it, guilt is one of those things that holds us in bondage. And if you stop and think about it even more, sin definitely puts us in bondage. Peter himself, and if you notice, Jesus didn't call Simon Peter very much in this passage. Think about it. Peter was the name that Jesus had given him, an honorary name, a name that means rock, Petros. But Jesus had denied Christ 3 times. When the disciples had gone fishing, they weren't able to catch any fish. But Jesus told them to throw the nets in on the other side, and they caught 153 fish. You ever wonder why it was 153 fish? Well, it's because there was 153 known nations at that time. You see, Jesus was going to be sending them out into all the world, including those 153 nations, to bring them to him, to let them know that Jesus had come and liberated each of us if only we choose to believe in him. Well, he sat and he had some dinner with them, bread, fish, and if you were Greek or if you were Coptic, you would understand that that becomes part of a communion meal, especially when they are fasting in certain periods of the year. And on Sundays, they have a fish meal. Jesus then takes Peter off to the side to have a little come to Jesus moment with him. Now, Peter's pretty excited, but he still could have been doing one of these, "I really messed up, Jesus," in his mind, when he denied him during the trial 3 times. And the cock crowed 3 times. So Jesus said to him, not once, not twice, but not 3 times, "Do you love me?" Do you ever have to have a serious conversation with somebody? And everybody gets their hackles up when you say to somebody, "Oh, we need to talk." And it's like, oh boy. You know, that's the fastest way you can send a man right outside the door and out into the garage. "We need to talk." Whoop! Right? But the thing is, they did need to talk because they needed to reconcile. And the only way that they were going to be able to reconcile is have that conversation. "Do you love me?" "Yes, Jesus, I love you. Feed my lambs." Now, if you know anything about lambs, they're very tiny when they're born, and they are completely defenseless. They need to be cared for, and a lot of times the ewes don't own their lambs, and they end up being bottle fed. "Feed my lambs." Then he says to tend my sheep. That means not just the little ones, not just the beginning ones, but everybody, right? Everybody. Because we're the sheep. We're the sheep. And then he says it one more time, "Do you love me?" By this time, poor Peter. But it had to be said, it had to be done. "You know, Jesus, I love you." He had to be thinking in his mind, "Why do you keep asking me this? Can't we just move on?" But at that point, he's been reconciled. Just like in the triune God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, he's been reconciled. And Jesus tells him again to feed the lambs, feed the sheep. Then he goes on to tell him that you're going to serve me, that you're going to have a really rough time. Not, you know, people can put themselves in bondage, but somebody else is going to put you in bondage. And we know eventually it was the Romans that puts Peter in bondage, and Peter is martyred for his faith in Jesus and for being an apostle, for going out and bringing others into faith in Jesus. Now that's true love. And I'm not sure how many of us are willing to go out and do that. However, I know that a lot of you were called into service, whether it be Vietnam or Korea, or maybe even if you're old enough to remember the World War II. And that's the only thing I can liken it to, if you know that you're willing to put your life on the line for something or someone that you believe in. Are you willing to put your own life on the line for Jesus Christ? Because if you are, that's a true liberation. That means it's freeing yourself to live in a way that puts Jesus first in everything that you do. And the thing is, you're not doing that alone. The Holy Spirit is living and breathing right inside of you. God's love is living and breathing right inside of you. I was asked last week, you do baptisms here. Yes, we do baptisms here. We love to be able to bring others into the family of God. It's an outward sign of an inward proclamation. And so if you want to be part of the family, let me know. We'll have a good conversation. I also want you to know that God loves us right where we are. No matter what we have done, no matter the things that we have thought, because of God's love through Jesus Christ our Lord in the power of the Holy Spirit, we can be transformed. Just like Peter was transformed. Just like all those who believe are transformed. And you can be liberated too. And the lock is opened. And the key is Jesus Christ. Pray with me. Lord God, today in this place, we do search for liberation. We do want to be part of your family. And if there's some that are moving in that direction today, I would love to have a conversation with them to let them know that Jesus loves them right where they are. Lord, open our hearts and our minds every day to see that today is the first day in our new lives, and we go on from there because it's a life in you. And we pray this today in Jesus' name. Amen.